Welcome back, Joan.
On a nice, warm, sunny, blue sky day. Warm, I suppose, is a very nice word because it's actually hot.
It's the day the Pope goes off for his summer rest in Castel Gandolfo, which is much cooler than here.
It is indeed in the Castelli Romani, the Roman hill towns. And it was interesting because actually it was published on a few different Vatican agendas. The Pope was going to leave on Wednesday, the 6th. And I had actually kind of thought that was strange simply because I knew from other sources that the Pope's brother was here, and we all knew his brother was here, but I knew his brother was leaving the 7th. And I thought it was kind of funny for Benedict to go to the Castelli Romani and leave his brother alone, but he isn't doing that, of course. Monsignor Georg Ratzinger left Thursday, and the Pope went to Castel Gandolfo. And if you work or live around the Vatican, and I do both, you know when the Pope is about to leave for someplace, you hear the helicopter.
Right.
I'll be in my office, and I'll be writing my blog or something. Right. I'll go, okay, folks, you know, the Pope is just coming back from Corpus Domini or some procession like that. So, but the Pope, it'll be a quiet period, too. And the Vatican activities are, like, you know, cut in half or almost down to zero in July because the Pope not only does not do the weekly audiences, I think he does the Angelus,
In Castel
Gandolfo. He speaks from the balcony overlooking the inner courtyard. And loudspeakers also bring his words to the people gathered in the square, in the town square in front of the facade, if you will, the outer part of the Apostolic Palace, which has a very, very interesting history. And you know what? If you're in Rome, when the Pope does the Angelus there, and if you can get out to that little town, do so. Have lunch there. The town is built around an extinct volcano now called Lake Albano. And but just to be able to kind of step inside the Apostolic Palace, the courtyard, not that you're going to see any rooms or anything, but there's just a certain intimacy to it that St. Peter's Square will never have. But that's what the Pope will enjoy. And there used to be the observatory, we should mention, at Castel Gandolfo.
Right.
Now, the
it's
two
moved
telescopes.
To Arizona, hasn't it?
Well, the major Vatican telescope, the VATT, the Vatican Advanced Telescope Technology, that is in Tucson. But there are two telescopes that were used until recent years when the city lights of Rome became too strong for really good celestial viewing. And so those two telescopes are on top of the Papal Palace. They still are, and they can be used, you know, more or less for fun. But the actual library and laboratories and so forth, the other administrative offices of the observatory have moved to a previously vacated convent. The nuns who'd lived there have moved elsewhere. So the Pope will not be disturbed by his, astronomers who are of it's Jesuit run.
Right.
So. Well, enough about the Pope's vacation place. And what's interesting, this Vatican City, I mean, where we are now, you know, the Vatican, most people think of it, where the museums are. This is 44 hectares, which is 108.7 acres. But the Castel Gandolfo one is larger. It's 55 hectares.
Goodness me.
And approximately half of that is farm.
Half of it is farm.
I believe it's 27 hectares. And so we're looking at 120 or something. My math isn't too
good. So they produce a good fare.
They do. They produce their own olive oil, you know, when the season's right. They have yogurt. They have eggs.
Milk.
These things are brought to the Vatican markets. And at 6 a.m. in the morning, they are brought, when the Pope's in residence in Rome, they're brought from Castel Gandolfo to the Apostolic Palace. So I guess the Holy Father can have fresh milk with his cornflakes.
Right.
Well, it was kind of an interesting week here as the Pope. I've noticed, and I noticed this with John Paul too, how before they like go on vacation or on a trip, it's like there's a flurry of activity, you know, last minute meetings and fitting people in because you'll be gone for a couple of weeks. And but the Angelus, of course, Sunday was the regular appointment.
He talks about holidays, didn't he?
He did, because he talks about Jesus' words, "Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." And Jesus traveled the roads of Galilee, announcing the kingdom of God, healing many sick people, and so forth. And the Pope said, "Jesus' gaze seems to rest upon us today, upon our world. And it rests upon so many people who are oppressed with difficult living conditions, And then he said, people without valid signposts to help them find a meaning and goal in life. And even though the Holy Father was talking about this more or less depressing subject, he's able to weave into it the fact that we can get away, we can go on vacation, we can relax. And I just returned, from 3 days, away, never looked at a computer. Of course, I had my phone with me because that's necessary, but it really can reinvigorate you and charge the body. And if you take more time to read, actually sit down with a book and turn pages.
Absolutely.
And if the book is spiritual reading, so much the better. Get back your very human dimension. So
make room for the gospel in your suitcase.
Oh, yeah, exactly. On Monday, we had a very interesting the Pope had a very interesting morning. He inaugurated an exhibit entitled The Splendor of Truth, The Beauty of Charity. And actually, its subtitle does say what it is. It was the homage of 60 artists to Benedict XVI for the 60th anniversary of his ordination to the priesthood. And this idea actually came about when in 2009, in November, he met with a lot of artists in the Sistine Chapel.
Right.
And a lot of them, most of them are Italian.
So they're all contemporary works?
Yes. Yeah.
And it was interesting because it wasn't just paintings. It was sculpture, it was architecture, but it was also music and jewelry designers.
Actually, which I thought was fascinating. And, Paul the VI, we have to go back to his papacy, he had a great love for modern art. And if you go to the modern art section of the Vatican Museums, it really was the stimulus of Paul the VI that started bringing those works in. And, something, if I may be allowed to say this here, because I'm asked all the time, or frequently, by people, why would the Vatican spend money on buying art when, there are other more, should we say, urgent problems. And actually, they don't. They don't go out and buy art. There are foundations out there that get a hold of the Vatican. There's the patrons of the Vatican Museums. And so when art has to be bought to add to a collection or even restored, there are these groups and these foundations that find out what the need is in the Vatican and take care of it. So the Vatican doesn't go out and spend millions for a Picasso.
That's interesting.
And I think it's very important to know that if money leaves the Vatican, it is to help people who are the victims of earthquakes and any other natural disasters, or Haiti, and Japan and so forth. And it was interesting. The Pope said he renewed what he had said on an earlier meeting. I want to renew a friendly and impassioned appeal to artists. Never separate artistic creativity from truth and charity. Never seek beauty distant from truth and charity. But with your genius and creative drive, always seek courageously after truth and bear witness to charity. And he said, may the Holy Spirit, architect of all that is beautiful in the world, illuminate you and guide you towards the definitive and ultimate beauty. And we've mentioned this. Oh, it's in the atrium of the Paul the VI Hall, by the way. And began on July 4th, ends September 4th. And interestingly, there's also another exhibit that the Pope did visit this week. He didn't inaugurate it. It was inaugurated about 6 weeks ago. And it's an exhibit on Blessed John Paul II.
It is
phenomenal.
It was actually set up to coincide with the beatification.
Yes,
if I'm not mistaken.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it takes you from his childhood, objects from his home, his mother's china, handmade doilies, and things like that. And
photographs,
first communion, the whole thing, through his university life, his work life, what he wore, the clothing that he wore when he was working in the Solvay mines. And obviously then his years as a priest, bishop, cardinal, and then Holy Father. But it's a beautiful exhibit. If you're in Rome happening to listen to this program, please go. It's free.
Right.
It's just off of St. Peter's Square.
That's right. It's in the left colonnade.
Yes, left-hand colonnade at the Charlemagne Wing, as this particular building is called. It'd be pretty hard to miss.
Okay.
So two exhibits.
We had a message on the World Day of Tourism, if I'm not mistaken.
We did. We've had lots of press conferences, and just even to mention press conferences and a communique, a bishop was ordained in China that was without the papal mandate. So the Holy See press office issued a very clear statement on that. The Holy Father was apparently very, very upset by this, and the Vatican does not recognize the authority of this bishop. We should, let our listeners know. And by canon law, he has excommunicated himself. The Vatican doesn't have to excommunicate someone. Mm-hmm. There are certain things that if you do, abortion is one. If you do, you are excommunicating yourself, and so that has happened. And we also had the announcement this week of a, and we're going to get to the message in a minute, but we had an announcement this week of the Vatican, but this is in 2012. The Vatican is going to display 100 documents from their secret archives in an exhibit called the Vatican Secret Archives Unveiled. And amazingly enough, this will not be in Vatican City, but in Rome's Capitoline Museums in February 2012. So we will talk about that at length more as the time approaches for that to happen. We're still months away. And perhaps because we talked about it just for a second or mentioned it, but there is another day kind of in the future. September 27th is World Tourism Day. And the Pontifical Council for the Pastoral Care of Migrants and Itinerant Peoples always publishes a message, and this year the theme was tourism linking cultures, and the message itself said that the theme hopes to highlight the importance that traveling has in the meeting of the different cultures of the world, especially in our present day, and I didn't know this, where more than 90 million people travel internationally, favored by modern means of communication and lower costs. Well, of course, the lower cost might have changed since that was written. But anyway, look forward to hearing more about this message in September on World Tourism Day. So, by the way, we did forget the Holy Father's visit to the Osservatore Romano.
Right.
And he visited the headquarters, which would be an extraordinarily short walk from the Apostolic Palace. But the Vatican newspaper, the daily, is called L'Osservatore Romano, which would mean Roman observer,
right.
Of course.
We have an English version as well.
And we do. The daily is in Italian. You can also go online now at vatican.va or osservatoreromano.va. And I saw a couple days ago, it's not just English and Italian on the daily basis online. They also have added Spanish. The occasion was the 150th
right.
anniversary. The first edition appeared on July 1st, 1861. And so the Pope obviously – oh, we did – you mentioned English. There is a weekly edition, and these can be found online too. I'm not sure if they're in their entirety, but English, German, French, Spanish, and Portuguese. And also the incredible – photo archives of L'Osservatore Romano are right. online. People can order pictures. Maybe they were at an audience right. and want a picture.
Well, just as we have all the audio
there.
Archive, they
sure.
have all the photo archive.
Exactly.
Right.
And Vatican TV is a little younger, so they obviously only have a few decades, not the whole history of the Vatican. But the Pope hailed the Vatican Daily, calling it a vital resource which needs to be increasingly understood and appreciated. And what I love is when he said, you know, you've got to have not only the technical ability to do the work that you do today, but you must let the gospel and Christ permeate your lives and have a spiritual life in addition to the just the material, technical, physical aspect of one's work.
And that was a message to you and I as well, wasn't it, Joe?
It is in our work, exactly. And, but, you know, how could you not? I mean, we're surrounded by messages from the Holy Father, from a pontifical council, from a congregation, all church-related, all man-centered. How can we not become richer people by having this permeate us every day?
Absolutely.
You read it. It has to stay in your mind. You don't memorize the whole speech, but, you know, the little sound bites and important words are going to be there. So we're blessed. We are blessed to be doing this work.
Thank you very much, Joan.